Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to the Leaving Eden podcast. It is our third anniversary. We've been doing this for 3 years, and I'm so happy to be here with you, Sadie Carpenter. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. 3 whole years. That is amazing. Well, happy anniversary to you and also to all of our listeners, especially those who have been around since that first year, but to our newer listeners as well. I think this is something for all of us to celebrate.
Absolutely. My name is Gavriel Huck-Cohen, and as always, I am here, and I have spent the last 3 years making this podcast with my BFF and co-host, cult expert, cult survivor, Sadie Carpenter, excellent human being, and a wonderful person. And we've seen a lot of amazing things happen over these past 3 years. And today we're going to do a little bit of a retrospective over the past year. We're going to give some like updates and stuff. And we're just going to talk about some fun stuff that we have coming forward.
Yeah, we like to do updates. We like to do behind the scenes. That's what we like to do for our anniversary episodes.
Yeah, and that should just be fun for you guys to listen to. And we're going to have like a little like favorite things countdown. We're going to talk about some of our favorite moments that have happened over the past year. I love doing these. Before we get into that, the Leaving Eden podcast is the podcast about my BFF and co-host, Sadie Carpenter's life in and escape from the Independent Fundamental Baptist cult, the cult in which she was raised. We talk about this cult. We talk about other cults. We talk about religion. We talk about fundamentalism. We talk about the real and present threat that cults and cult ideologies pose to society as a whole. And it is our goal to promote freedom of mind, freedom of thought, and freedom of religion. So if you like our show, if you're a fan of our show, then you can support us by joining our Patreon. Last week, on our Patreon, there was an extended version of our episode where we talked about just some like interesting behind the scenes stuff to do with fundy beliefs about death. And so if you want to hear that,
I remember recording that.
Yeah, that was very interesting. It wasn't really the most relevant to the episode itself. So we talked about that on the Patreon. And if you want to hear that on the Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/leavingedenpodcast.
And the week before that, I was extremely tired from moving. And I went on an extended rant about who actually did the Kennedy assassination. That was popular.
That was really cool. I was excited to hear because I'm not a huge conspiracy nut, but this is like a conspiracy that you've actually done the research into. And there's actually like, of course it was a conspiracy. Like everyone knows it was a conspiracy. That's like the whole thing. is that it just hasn't been released to the public. That's, you can also join our Facebook group and our subreddit. Those are both called Eden Exodus. So you can go to reddit.com/r/EdenExodus, or you can go to facebook.com/groups/EdenExodus. Both of those are awesome. And we do have a coming up a Q&A episode. So get your questions into leavingedenpod@gmail.com. That's the best way to send us questions, because if they come from a place that's to our Instagram or to our Facebook or to in the Facebook group or something, then we don't have them all in one place, and it's harder for us to like get them compiled into a place where it's easy for us to answer them. So send them to our email, just so it's easier for us to find them.
We have three I Gave It All tier patrons. They are Kathleen Moncrief, Melissa Mosley, and Todd Dale on behalf of Madeline Antrim. Wanted to thank all three of our I Gave It All tier patrons for truly giving it all and being there for us in an incredible way.
Absolutely. Truly fantastic. And I'm blown away by the level of support that we get.
We also have quite a few Faith Promise Missions tier patrons. Our Faith Promise Missions patrons are Alex P., Allie Allen, Anisha Patel, Brooke Tully, Krissa, Crystal Patterson, Dora J., Enchanted Fairy, Esther M., Hannah Ross, Hope Norum, Horton Hears a Shane, Janine Callen, Jen Kaharski, Jessica Tambo, Jonna, Kater Wee, Kitty Kate, Kristen Marie, Learned Vixen, Lita, Linda Morgan, Lindsay Goss, Lorena Watson, Madeline Antrim, Madeline Cusick, Marlena Stuve, Marcia Millard, Mary Williams, Mary Martin, Megan Arndt, Rob the Methodist, Sarah Reese, Stephanie Johnson, Steve and Amy, Susie, Tara McNamara, The Loch Ness, Tiffany Enderby, and as always, Wes the Cowboy.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, big thank you to all of our I Gave It All tier and Faith Promise Mission tier patrons over on Patreon, but also to everybody who supports us on Patreon and to all of our listeners who support us in different ways, like letting people know about our podcast, posting about us on social media, inviting friends to take a listen. All of you have made the last 3 years possible. I especially want to thank all of you for the help that you've given me in being able to get into a house. I know people probably know that the market's kind of crazy right now, and it is a really, really big privilege. Like incredibly big privilege to be able to get into a house. The people who support us on Patreon, the people who listen to episodes every week and recommend us to others, are the reason that I have a job that I can do as a full-time mom. Because of the educational abuse and educational neglect that I suffered in the IFB, I can't afford to work a full-time job. Because the amount of money to put my child in daycare would be the same as or even more than the amount of money that I would earn if I worked full time. Because I don't have degrees and qualifications and job history because of abuse and neglect in the IFB. So this podcast has actually changed my life and allowed me to have something to do and a source of income and a passion project that I can do while being a full-time parent. And I cannot overstate how much I appreciate that and thank all of our listeners and especially our patrons for that. I would like to tell my wild moving story if you'd like to hear that, Gavi.
Tell it.
I know. So you've heard little bits and pieces of this as it was happening, and I don't think you've heard the whole story.
No, Sadie was just like sending me messages, and I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, another thing.
I'm kind of hoping that this will make people laugh, and then that will be my way of giving back to, you know, the people who made this whole house possible to begin with. So we had scheduled movers for almost 2 weeks after we were supposed to close on the house, because we were thinking that would give us some time, because we just moved to the suburbs of Portland. It's just across town. We were thinking that like week and a half, 2 weeks would give us time to come to the new house. We would paint and make necessary repairs and get things done before the actual day that the movers showed up, right?
Stands to reason.
Our closing ended up getting pushed 3 times. So by the time we actually closed, it was less than 24 hours before the movers were supposed to show up at our old apartment to help us to move into the new house. And then the morning that we were supposed to move, I pulled the entire thing, like all of my responsibilities, I pulled it off with military precision. You would not believe. I had the essential stuff that had to be in the car with me. I had the baby. I had the cat. I had the snacks for the baby. I had the food for the cat. I had everything in the car, got the baby up, hustled her into a car seat, got the cat in the car. Everything was going perfectly. I drove over to the new house. I got the baby out of the car. I got the cat out of the car. I got him set up in a bathroom so that he would have someplace to chill while the movers were going to be in and out with all of our furniture and possessions. And just as I got everything set up, my husband calls me and he said the movers canceled.
No.
Yep. So the movers couldn't get their truck up the driveway at our old apartment.
Oh.
And they wanted to charge us $4,000 to move everything out the front door of that building by hand.
Absolutely not.
No, no.
I mean, that's basically price gouging.
Yeah. And like this, I don't know what's up with this because this moving company has moved. I have seen them moving people in and out of our old building multiple times. So you would think that they would know. So anyway, I packed the cat back up, I packed the baby back up, and drove back to the apartment. And then we were stuck in an apartment full of boxes with a toddler for 5 days until we could get like the people together with the U-Haul to come, like friends and my brother-in-law to come help us move. And that was fun because all her toys are packed, all her favorite foods are packed, all her clothes are packed. All of everybody's clothes are packed. Nobody has clean socks. Nobody has like their comfort items or comfort foods. We don't have a TV because the TV is packed. So that was a...
You still have internet?
We did have internet. If we hadn't had internet, I don't know what I would have done.
That's atrocious. This is...
Yeah, so we were stuck. And like now it's funny, like a couple weeks down the line, Nick, now it's funny. At the time, it was very not funny because like I need to work. I need to record. Jonathan has to work. Like he only took 3 days off of work for the move and he moved all of his meetings for an entire month around the move. So those 3 days went by and we're still not moved and he's got to work. So then for a couple days, like we would come. We had internet at both places, which is what saved us. So we would drive over to the new house in the morning and he would work at the new house. And all day, Chuck and I would drive back and forth between the new house and the old apartment and just fill up the car with like survival stuff. We moved our whole pantry that way. We moved the fridge and freezer that way. We moved, I'm trying to think what all did we bring? A lot of the clothes she and I did like that and a lot of her toys so that she would have toys at both places and I wouldn't go insane. So Chuck and I just went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth all day long because her bed was still at the old house. Everybody was still sleeping at the old house. Jonathan and I were sleeping on the floor at the old house because the bed was packed. So we did that for, 5 whole days. And then thankfully, my brother-in-law and a friend of ours bailed us out and got us moved into the new house. So we got moved into the new house and our hot water heater wasn't working immediately. So, you know, you move stuff and you're like gross and you're sore and you just want a hot shower and then you can have an icy shower. That's all we have.
I mean, I like an icy shower, man.
Don't. I only do that when I just got my hair dyed. So it was just kind of one thing after another, and it's still kind of playing out because all of the, you know, painting and repairs and like Jonathan and I ran our TV wires behind a wall so that you don't see any wires coming down from our TV. We drilled holes in the wall and ran wires through to the other side. But all of that had to be done on the fly because we were going to do all of that before we moved in. But we couldn't because closing got pushed. So it has been a long few days here of we put the baby to bed and then we work until like 2, 3 a.m. on these projects and crash out and do it all again the next day. But we are really getting somewhere. And I, you know, I've don't want to ever lose sight of how lucky I am to be able to get into a house right now at all, because I know that's not possible for a lot of people. And I want to thank, again, our listeners and our patrons especially, because that support makes this a lot more possible. And I'm really thankful. I'm really excited to make this place home. It has been a wild time moving, but Chuck and Harry are doing really well. Place is starting to look like something good. And thank you so much for your support over the last 3 years.
Sadie, did you pray for resiliency or patience?
Did I pray for patience?
Did you?
Not that I remember, but maybe I did. Maybe I did.
The Lord is fulfilling your request in the and he's just kind of like giving you a shakedown run.
Yeah, maybe my dad's playing a prank on me. I don't know.
I mean, I think that if it was your dad playing a prank on you, he might go a little easier on you than this. He wouldn't have done all that stuff. But
he would have done one of those things, though.
Yeah. Like, one of them would be fine, but all of them.
Like, one of the, like, 14 things that have gone wrong. And, like, how lucky am I that everything went wrong that could have gone wrong, and I'm still sitting here in the house with Wi-Fi, recording an episode, doing my job that I love, baby sleeping in the other room. Like, that is incredible good fortune in life, that many things could go wrong for me and I could still bounce and land doing what I need to be doing today. That's not something I take lightly.
We both moved this year.
Yeah, you got to move to a brand new city.
I moved to the whole opposite side of the country. I moved 3,000 miles using a minivan and then had to unload that minivan into a third story walk up by myself. But I still think that your move was probably more stressful than mine.
I unloaded a moving van with a baby in the backpack carrier on my back.
Oh, your calves must be like...
My calves were already ripped, but they're going to be even more now.
Yeah. So there have been a lot of changes during this year for us and for our show. During this year, we also, some behind the scenes stuff, we also switched podcast distributors. And as part of the switch, we lost access to a lot of our listener data from previous years. So sadly, I'm no longer able to give you things like our total download numbers or our download numbers for the past year or anything like that. I can give you guys like a rough estimate of those numbers and where they are, because I like to maybe give you guys an update. And I'm happy to say that in the past year, the past 3 years of doing our show, when's this episode going out? Because I think our first episode was August 11th, 2020. And I think this episode's going out on August like 14th, 15th, something like that.
Yeah.
In the 3 years later. So in the past 3 years, our show has amassed a total of somewhere around 2.3 million episode downloads.
You know what? I would really love to get to a million in 1 year.
Yeah.
That's my stretch goal for this year. That would be really cool.
That would be fantastic. And I don't see any reason why we can't do that, because, you know, we keep improving every, like, our show gets more and more popular every year we do it.
That's good. If it was the opposite, that would not be so good.
Yeah, some more fun information about our listeners. It's nice to sort of be able to share who our listeners are.
Oh yeah, I love listeners. That.
Yeah, so our top countries for listeners are in order. Number one, United States, of course. Number two, Canada. Number three is the United Kingdom. Number four is Australia. And number five is Germany. So those are our top five countries.
I always get a kick out of saying Australia up there. I think just because that's so far away. We know y'all have fundies over there, although they're generally a little bit of a different kind of fundies. But I always get a kick out of the Aussie listeners.
Yeah, it is kind of cool for me to see, you know, just to see how worldwide our reach is. And when I say worldwide, I do mean worldwide, because we, according to our analytics, we have listeners on every single continent on the globe, including one listener in Antarctica.
What?
Yeah, which is wild. So if you're down in Antarctica doing research or whatever, if it is, I mean, say hi to the penguins for me is all I
If you are our one listener from Antarctica, would you please send us an email?
Yes.
And tell us like who you are. I need to know.
I mean, there. I know somebody who went to Antarctica. He was like a plumber, though. And he just like went down to do.
I know people who have gone there like for a trip, but I don't know people who have lived there.
Yeah, I know a guy who lived there for like 6 or 8 months. He just like moved. Huh. Yeah, because he's a plumber and there and he just went down there to be a plumber for like 6 or 8 months. It's apparently just like a because they need people to just like do regular jobs because all the researchers come in and they do stuff down there. It's apparently very interesting because they don't have very good internet down there. And it's all just like having all the seasons of Game of Thrones on DVD, or you can't play video games online very well. So what you do is you play like GameCube and like Xbox 360 and stuff, but you're like on the couch with people. It's very much like
that sounds nice. Like I love the internet because the internet has given me so much. Like it gave me a path to deconstruction. It gave me the job that I have now with the podcast. It's given me community and real friends. But also sometimes I wish I had a good reason to take a break from the internet for a while.
So maybe we can go on a podcast tour and we'll tour down to Antarctica and see our one listener down there.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Would you like to do some fundy updates?
Absolutely. Who are we talking about?
I just want to like touch base on some of the people that we have talked about on the show this year and in previous years. So let's start with Jack Skop.
Boo.
I know. He has been out of jail for over a year, but he has been staying off the grid. And I'm a little surprised by this. I keep hearing whispers that he's planning something and he's working with this guy or working with that guy. And my sources are really well informed. So I don't doubt them, but I keep expecting him to do something more quickly. And I'm really thankful that he's just not right now. I really freaked out when he got out of prison, honestly, because I thought I was going to have to see his face and hear his voice everywhere. And not only would that really suck for me and for other people that he hurt, but it would really, really be re-traumatizing for his victim, the one that he went to jail for, and any others that may exist. I'm really happy that I am not having to see as much of him as I thought I would be.
And by off the grid, we mean like he lives in a trailer park that is owned by his parents in Michigan. And while this is a step up from sleeping in cell block J and living off of like Nissin cup of noodles and canned tuna, this is also a significant downgrade from how he used to live 11 years ago when he had a big house, a cherry red Dodge Charger, a motorcycle. Well, he still has a motorcycle. And like tens of thousands of adoring followers.
Did you say 11 years ago?
11 years ago.
Is it 2020? It's 2023 now?
2023.
I barely know what day and month it is. This move has got me completely upside down on like time is no longer real to me right now. Since 2023, then it was actually 11 years ago last week that his crime became public.
Wow.
At least within the IFB, because it was the night of July 31st that the Deacon Board sent the email letting people know that he had been discharged from being the pastor for moral failure. And then it was like literally this week, 11 years ago, or the week that we're recording, 11 years ago, that details were coming out and everything was, my life was falling apart.
Wow.
That is really interesting. I didn't put that together until right now on air.
Look how far you've come, though. It's been...
Yeah.
I mean, your life is totally different, and...
Yeah, my life is really, really different. 11 years ago this week, I had experienced my first big fundy scandal that I was an adult and kind of part of. I was 19, and I was on the phone with my Hiles Anderson boyfriend Noah trying to figure out, am I going back for this next year? Are you going back for this next year? What are we going to do? And calling all of my friends, are you going back? Are we still doing this? Do you have any information? Do you know what the heck happened? That's really interesting to like re-experience that through 30-year-old eyes.
And you were a young unmarried woman, so you would have been bottom of the food chain for information.
Yeah, but my dad would tell me anything. Like, my dad would tell me anything that he knew. because thank goodness I had him.
Whatever Jack Skop decides to do, whether it be East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, we have all the coasts covered. There is nowhere that he can hide from us. If he starts pastoring somewhere, we'll show up with signs. We'll play blasphemous music outside. We'll hand out flyers. We'll let everyone know he's the kind of guy that's in town.
We will not advocate any actual violence on anyone ever, but I will like silly string his car.
Yeah.
I will absolutely protest, play loud music, post his mugshot everywhere. But I think the best, as fun as that is to think about, I think the best possible thing is that he stays put and lives a mundane life and reads books by preferably by people of diverse experiences and backgrounds, although that may be too much to ask. And most importantly, not molest any more people. I hate that he still has the power over me. Like, I feel like I need to check. I feel like there's a danger over my shoulder that could pop up at any time. And I hate that he still has that kind of power over, like, psychological power over me. But I would rather live with that feeling of impending doom as long as he stays put and stays silent.
Yeah, I mean, if he lives out his life in obscurity and never goes near a pulpit again, that's not like the full prison sentence that he deserves, but it's something.
It is so weird to cope with this from my perspective, because I don't know. I know how willing the IFB is to forgive and take people back, especially when they are talented, when they are charismatic, when they have something to offer the IFB as a whole. And I also know what he was like 10 years ago, 11 years ago, even a few years prior to that, you know, 12 and 13 years ago, when I knew him even better. It's really an interesting feeling. Should we talk about, so speaking of other people that I very much dislike, should we talk about Stephen Anderson?
Yes, let's talk about Stephen Anderson. Okay. Spill the tea.
So Zuzana took literally all of their children on a month-long trip to Germany to see her family. Germany is, of course, one of the over 30 countries that Stephen Anderson is banned from entering, so he had to stay home.
If you do an anti-Semitism in Germany, then Arnold shows up in a helicopter and he throws you in the panopticon.
I don't think Stephen Anderson even got kicked out of Germany. I think he got preemptively banned when he got banned from Britain and South Africa, which I believe are two of the other countries that he's banned from.
Interesting.
As well as Canada and Mexico, as far as I know.
I wish we could ban people.
So Susanna's got this video behind a paywall. It seems like Steve is having some back problems, which I assume come from carrying all the racism and nastiness around all day. That's got to be a heavy burden. So Susanna has also been posting an uncharacteristic number of feet photos lately.
Ew.
I don't think it means anything, but I did notice when I was scrolling her timeline, just trying to figure out what she's been up to. Also, a video went viral on TikTok recently of Stephen Anderson kicking a guy out of church for asking for a prayer. You not seen this video? Let me see if I can, hold on. Let me see how quick I can find it. We got time.
Oh, wow. So the dude just walks up to Stephen Anderson and says, hey, can I have a prayer? And Stephen's goons just like grab him and like literally manhandle him and throw him out. Take that baby out. It's very much like the Jack Hiles that.
Like, yeah, like it's like adult. A more intense version of that.
Is somebody just like standing up and walking down and saying, can I have a prayer? Is that a normal thing in?
No.
Okay.
No, that's very unusual, but I'm trying to think. It does happen in IFB churches. Usually it's people who are not IFB who have like recently converted or are in the process of becoming IFB, like not visitors, but people who have only attended a couple times and are not fully integrated in the church yet. That's who you would expect to see doing something like that. And I know it would have happened in my church growing up at least once, maybe twice, but good pastors have a way to deal with it. Like a good IFB pastor would grab the assistant pastor who's sitting behind him on the platform and say, yeah, absolutely. You know, brother so-and-so, would you take this man in the back and have a prayer? or take him off to the side, like behind the piano, and have a prayer and then keep preaching his sermon.
Is there a denomination of Christianity that's more likely to do that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't know for sure, but I bet the Pentecostals do this.
Okay, so if a guy was like coming to Steven Anderson's church and he's used to being Pentecostal, and then he is like, I guess I'm just going to do that thing that we do at my church that I'm used to. And he just gets thrown out.
That's completely unconfirmed, but I bet that's like a Pentecostal or charismatic thing.
Now that makes more sense.
So can we move on to Aunt Lori? Should we talk about Lori Alexander?
Yeah, about how men prefer debt-free virgins without tattoos.
She hasn't done anything really notable lately. She's just hate tweeting all day long. The only real change with her is that she seems to have learned how to jump onto viral posts or Twitter controversies better. Her SEO, personal branding on Twitter, is getting better, which is scary. The only actual thing of note about Lori Alexander is, number one, I have not yet been blocked by her. So that's fun. Also, while I was checking her Twitter feed to see if she's done anything interesting lately, I got a sponsored post for edibles. So that was kind of funny.
I was checking Lori Alexander's post and I got a sponsored post for the NWSL, which is the National Women's Soccer League, which is kind of f***ed. Honestly, like, I wonder if the NWSL knows that they're paying to put ads on tweets by Lori Alexander and putting money in her pocket.
But maybe they do, and maybe they're doing it as a flex. And maybe they know that half of the people who read Lori's tweets are not people who agree with her.
I don't know. It seems like with the way that Twitter is going and how they're like, yeah, we're actually paying out revenue for popular tweets to popular tweeters, and then their algorithm really favors people who are in like the Chuddiverse,
yeah,
and who are just like Chuddcore tweeters and podcasters, and it really just seems like, I don't know why anybody would want to advertise on Twitter, because you're basically just automatically guaranteeing that you're going to give a bunch of money to the most psycho lunatics on the planet. And if you have any sense of like corporate brand responsibility and like trying to take care of your corporate brand and make people not hate you, you would have to like pull all of your advertising from Twitter for that reason. I don't know. I mean, I definitely can't imagine that the Women's Soccer League would like to fund Lori Alexander.
Oh, the money goes to Lori, not to Twitter.
If you are a person tweeting and your tweet goes viral and there's ads like on your page, then you get the money from that. It's like this new program. So like people like Pearl Davis, you know, those types of people, their tweets end up getting promoted because Twitter's algorithm, like Elon's like, I'm going to promote all of the people that I think are smart and that I agree with and that also just like kind of fillet my and talk about how great of a businessman I am because they want preferential treatment. And then he'll like give them a boost and then they make money, even though he's not actually making any money off of Twitter now. It just seems like it's not a very good business model.
Well, I mean, Elon Musk is a certified business genius. So what could possibly go wrong? So here's a fun question. What were our favorite non-cult podcasts this year?
Ooh, okay, that's fun. That's interesting.
Yeah, let's get out of the fundies. Let's do something actually fun.
Right. Because, I mean, I've said this before. I don't listen to true crime podcasts or cult podcasts or deconstruction podcasts for a couple of reasons. One is that because I produce this content. This content is often trauma related or trauma adjacent. And in order to make the episodes, Sadie and I have to actually like consume the content as we're making it. So when we like outline and then we record and then we edit, I end up listening, and then I like listen to it after release. I basically have already consumed that content 4 or 5 times, and that's kind of a lot for me. And so like if it's a, something especially traumatic, then I have to go through that a bunch of times. So when I'm listening to other podcasts, a lot of times it's just kind of more of like a brain cleanse. I also think that me not listening to that stuff kind of makes it able for me to keep it more fresh and makes me to have a better outsider perspective and preserving that outsider perspective. And I think that's sort of vital. So I only really listen to like other deconstruction podcasts if it's for research or if it's like we have a special guest coming on and I want to listen to their show to make sure that I have something to talk to them about. So apart from this podcast, in my leisure time, I looked at my Apple Podcast data. I only listen to like 4 other podcasts. 2 of them are basketball podcasts about the Portland Trailblazers. Specifically the Jacked Ramsey's podcast and Sean Hyken's Rose Garden Report podcast. One of them is a Formula One podcast, which is called the Shift F1 podcast. And the other podcast that I listen to is called Dimension 20, which is a Dungeons and Dragons podcast that my girlfriend introduced me to. All just stuff that's wildly different from the stuff that we do here.
I think that's fair. Because if there's something going on in the deconstruction verse that is big enough that you need to know about it, I tell you about it.
I mean, and a lot of times I'll follow the story too, but I'll like try to only follow it peripherally, because if we want to talk about it on the show, I'm like, I'll learn about it when it's time for us to do research about it.
And if there's something that's so big that you have to know right now, then I'm going to tell you, because I have pretty much transitioned all of my social media to like 90% cult content. I have, as I've mentioned, I have a burner TikTok that is just like cleaning and organization videos and feminist comedy and
hell yeah,
home home brewing and food videos and extreme deep cleaning videos. And like, it's only cottagecore stuff and that kind of thing and musical theater. So I have like that one account that's for other things, but most of my social media has become business, like work social media for cult stuff. So if something's going on, most of the time I'm going to see it and I can keep you posted. I get where you're coming from with the true crime or deconstruction related podcasts, because on one hand, I want to keep up with what other deconstruction related shows are doing, because I don't want to step on somebody's toes and cover something that's been covered recently. So, for example, I listened to the Excommunication Station episodes on Billy Sunday. It was super entertaining and funny, and they did great coverage. So now I know I don't need to put Billy Sunday on our list for at least a year. And I know what angles they approach that story from and what different angles I might want to do in the future.
Excommunication Station is a great show, by the way.
So I listen to some deconstruction related stuff, but it's not what I put on in the car when I'm driving someplace unless I'm doing research. Because I listen to a whole podcast, and I can't remember the name of the podcast, but I listened to a podcast on Jack Chick when we were doing the Jack Chick episodes, because I wanted to know if they turned up anything that I missed. I've really cut it down to just one true crime show. It's called True Crime and Cocktails. This show is really special to me for a couple reasons. It's the only celebrity podcast that I listen to. The celebrity component is Lauren Ash, who you might remember from the TV show Superstore. Did you ever see Superstore?
No, I never saw. I heard it was funny. It was funny.
It was cute. It was set in St. Louis, too, which is fun. But she played Dina on the show Superstore. And I'm happy to confirm her podcast persona is adorable, really funny, personable. It's her and her cousin, Christy, who do the show. And the first 30 minutes is just the two of them shooting the and it's the only podcast I've ever listened to just for the banter. Like, that's my favorite part of the episode. They are also really sweet and sensitive about all of the difficult stuff that comes up when we talk about true crime. The way that they approach difficult topics is really stellar. So that's my only true crime show that I still have around. Every once in a while, I'll turn on an episode of Crime Junkie. They are really fun, and they're also really sensitive about stuff. But I love the banter on True Crime and Cocktails. The other show I recently listened to, though, and this is maybe gonna sound kind of wild. The other show I listened to is called Who Sh*t on the Floor at My Wedding.
Okay, I need to know more about this.
Have you seen the show Kunk on Earth on Netflix?
Yes, I've seen. That's the one where she goes to like archaeologists and asks things like, did the Egyptians build the pyramids because rectangles hadn't been invented yet?
Yes.
I love it. It's like almost like an academic Borat.
Yes. Okay. Who on the Floor at My Wedding is kind of similar in tone. And also one of the presenters has a New Zealand accent, which is always fun to listen to. I also love anything that David Ferrier does because he's got such an amazing accent. But it's about this couple, Helen and Karen, who got married on a boat. And there was a mystery poop on the floor in the bathroom on the boat. And none of their guests would own up to it. So it's a real mystery. They claim it's a real thing that happened. But the quote unquote investigation is done by the bride's friend, Lauren. And she plays like really satirical and bumbling and stupid on purpose, like extreme Cunk on Earth vibes. They interview actual experts like forensic detectives and polygraph experts and zoology experts. Like the leads that they go down are just stupid and ridiculous.
That's amazing.
And she's asking like these actual experts dumb questions, exactly like Cunk on Earth. So it's Cunk on Earth plus true crime, and it's hilarious.
And that's nice, because I do feel like a lot of the true crime content lately has gotten, people have kind of been like, is this genre exploitative? That's kind of been like more and more and more of like a thing that people have been talking about. And I think a lot of people have been sort of souring on true crime in general as a genre. So it's nice to see something that takes that genre and really goes to the extreme, but also does it in regards to something that's not like, oh, somebody died here. Oh, somebody was a victim of like a brutal crime here. It's just like kind of funny.
No, somebody pooped on the floor at my wedding and they won't own up to it.
That's funny. I need to look that up.
Yeah, I barely do comedy podcasts. A lot of my podcast listening is stuff like Behind the Bastards. So it's very informative and just little jokes here and there. But this one, it just hit for me. It's so good. There is a slight doubt in my mind that maybe Helen and Karen and Lauren just made this whole thing up and the whole podcast is fictional with hired voice actors. But I don't even care if that's true. Like, if I found out it was fictional for sure, I would still be telling people to listen to it because it isn't that good.
Well, it's all for entertainment anyway. And I mean, do I really care if somebody actually did it? Probably not. I don't know.
Yeah. And it is, you know, I think I would be mad if it wasn't that good of a podcast and then it came out that it was fake and like, oh, you had to make something up that was fake to cover for your podcast not being very good, I think I would be mad. But it is so good. It's such an immersive story and so funny that I think it earned the right for me to love it no matter what. Let's go take up the offering. And when we get back, we can do a countdown of the top Fundyverse moments of the year.
That sounds great. Let's do that.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, Sadie here. If this is your first time listening to the Leaving Eden podcast, make sure you go back and check out episode 57. It's a primer episode for new listeners. That episode tells my personal story and gives you all the terms and information that you'll need to know going forward. Also, check out our cult true crime series, The First Family of Fundamentalism, so that you can get the whole cult story. If you like our show, you can support us by joining our Patreon, where we have extended and uncensored episodes, as well as other bonus content available. You can also join in the discussion in our Facebook group. That group is called Eden Exodus. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell your worst enemy. The Leaving Eden podcast is a fully independent podcast, and we really appreciate your support. Now, back to the show.
We are back from our break. We are here. We've talked about just some general stuff that's gone on over the past year, and now we will talk about more stuff that's gone on over the past year. In doing this, I thought back to over the past year of the top five things that happened in the Fundyverse, decided that I wanted to do like a top five countdown. There's a couple of honorable mentions here that I think deserve to be talked about. The first one is the Jerry Falwell Jr. Pool Boy scandal documentary, God Forbid. And I put that on here as an honorable mention because the scandal didn't break this year. The scandal broke a couple years ago, but we got the Hulu doc about it.
That was this year?
That was earlier this year. Or that might have been late last year, but it was in the past 12 months from when we're making.
See, I'm telling you, time is not real to me. I would have thought that documentary came out in like 2020 or 2021.
Dude, time just like, it's elastic. It's so weird.
Yeah, I had no idea that was this year. It was a good documentary, though.
It was like two houses ago for me. Because I was living in a different house, and then I moved back into my parents' house for 3 months, and then I moved from my parents' house to Philadelphia. So it was like two houses ago for me. It just seems like a different universe 12 months ago. But yeah, we got to see like the documentary about the pool boy scandal, which was a lot of fun. My second honorable mention is when Paul Olagus freaked out about the interracial couples in Rings of Power.
And then deleted his video
when people, like, when there was all the blowback about it. And I think this is just, like, peak Paul and Morgan, peak Paul Olagus, because you watched that video, right?
No, I only saw screen grabs because I didn't get to it before they took the video down.
Oh, well, you can find it. Somebody, like, archived it. Because basically, when he's talking about it, you know, if you watch their channel, when Paul goes on a rant, Morgan will just kind of, like, look over him and be like, he's still going, okay, like, what is he saying? And like, Paul starts like going on this rant about how like Rings of Power is the woke agenda and how every couple in the TV show was like an interracial couple, and he's like, okay, there's one, that's fine, and there's two, and that's like, huh, and it's three, and they have to be doing it on purpose. And then Morgan's like, you can see on her face that she's like,
My other honorable mention, like Paul and Morgan moment for this year, would be the Shiny Happy People documentary and like their backlash to it.
Yes.
They got invited to do this interview and they just start talking about like submission and marriage, and they walked themselves right into it with basically no producer involvement. And then they got mad at the producers for showing what they themselves said on screen.
And then the post Shiny Happy People debut content that they made was really pretty funny as well. When they were just like, we don't think we were portrayed very well and we got ambushed, and we're like,
well, they had clearly planned all of this content to promote the documentary and promote their appearance in it because they thought they were going to come off well, and they somehow had no clue what this documentary was about. When it came out and they found out what it was actually about, they had to reshoot all of this content. That I thought that was what happened. I thought it was obvious that that was what happened.
I think you're probably right about that, but I think that like, they should have known beforehand what it was going to be, because we knew, like, we didn't say anything about it, but we knew that Chad and Heather and Jen were involved in something, in some right. sort of like
a lot of times, when our friends are in things, they can't tell us because of NDAs that they signed, but we will get, you know, oh, you know, I bet there's going to be a new documentary, and we are able to put that together with things that come out on the Amazon website and put two and two together and have a general idea of what's coming out.
It was a very open secret.
Yeah, but nobody broke their NDAs to talk to us.
No one broke their NDAs to talk to us, but like, it was very much an open secret that there is a doc coming out. It's probably going to be an IBLP fundamentalism doc. Like, and you could tell from the people who were going to be featured in it, like, what the angle was going to be. And Paul and Morgan were just like, yes, let's go full on forward into this. And just like, they really just kind of showed their ass and they got mad about that.
So those are your honorable mentions. What are your top five Fundy moments of the year?
So number five top moment of the year in the Fundyverse is when Bethany Beal introduced us to the term self-cultivation.
Ew. I did not need to be reminded.
I had to listen to the podcast where she talked about. Did you listen to that?
Yes, I listened to both episodes of that podcast. What was personally, was that grosser for you than when she sprayed whipped cream in her mouth and had her husband eat it.
No, and I'll tell you why. Yeah. If you do the like whipped cream in your mouth and have your husband eat, like that's kind of like okay, get a room, you two. But the self-cultivation thing is grosser to me because it feels like there's just so much more darkness behind it, in that you have to go through like 6 or 7 or 8 rounds of rationalization and justification to simply obey the needs of your own body.
Yeah.
And obey the desires of your own body. Because what she was doing in that interview was trying to get 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 levels of justification for doing something and trying to tell all of the other people who listen to the podcast, mostly, I assume, young, unmarried, or soon to be married women, or recently married women on the podcast, it's okay for you to do this thing, but only if you go through 8 or 9 or 10 rounds of rationalization and justification. And to me, that's really the gross thing, because you're not getting rid of this idea that your body is sinful and there's stuff wrong with it. You're just saying your body is sinful, but it's okay for you to self-cultivate if you follow XYZ steps that make it okay somehow suddenly. And that's still kind of gross to me, because it's like trying to have your cake and eat it too, but it's like, you can't really.
It's trying to have your cake and eat it too while never technically having nor eating the cake.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's sort of it, is that they were just like, well, if you do the self-cultivation, then you can figure out what you actually like, and then you can show that to your husband. And that's the reason why you're doing this. And that will hopefully help you fulfill God's plan for your life. So that's still the ultimate goal. And it can't just be, I want to do this because it feels good. I want to do this because I need to just like, my mind is like all tied up in knots today, and I need to just like blow off some steam. I need to relax,
chill out,
or like,
yeah. Well, yeah, because feeling good and relaxing are not acceptable goals.
That, for me, that's why that made the list above, I think, the Jerry Falwell and the Rings of Power racism. Number four on my list is Brittany Dawn getting sued by the state of Texas and having to pay out almost $500,000.
Yes. And we are covering Brittany Dawn. It will
is be- it next week?
It depends on if we publish this episode on the 14th or the 21st, but Brittany Dawn's episode will be on August 28th.
Yes.
And the 27th for patrons.
We're really excited for that one. We dug up a lot of information about her.
That is going to be a long episode.
And recently, especially, she's been just like, I'm on Threads now. I was off Twitter for a while, but then I got back on Threads and I saw Brittany Dawn's on Threads. And her Threads posts that she'll post are just the most like sanctimonious stuff. Like, she'll just say, never underestimate what the Lord can accomplish in your life, or something like that. Or and I'm just like, yeah, never underestimate the $400,000 that you owe to the state of Texas. For, you know, I don't know.
Never underestimate how much trouble you can get in if you just scam people.
She's not a good person. And you will find out about why either next week or the week after, if you don't already know. So number three on my list is seeing all of the memes after Pat Robertson died. I don't know how you feel about this one, Sadie.
So do you remember how before we did the Jerry Falwell episodes, especially the one about Jerry Falwell Sr., I knew basically nothing about him?
Yes.
I think there was somebody else that we covered that I just had no clue. I didn't know anything about them. So that was what it was like. Like, I still don't have any idea what Pat Robertson did other than he was just another televangelist. Is he the guy who was like yelling about banishing COVID and COVID demons?
I think the thing that I remember about him is that he was the guy who said that 9/11 happened because America is too tolerant of gay people.
I thought Jerry Falwell said that.
Well, they were together when they said it. Pat Robertson, he also blamed HIV and said that HIV was like and the AIDS epidemic was like a divine judgment from God. So
mm-hmm.
he is a person who is very callous about other people dying. So I personally see no issue with making fun of the fact that he died, kind of.
I see where you're coming from with that.
Where I'm coming from, like, if you can actually say stuff that's as horrible as, you know, gay people deserve to die from AIDS, then go f*** yourself. I'm not going to shed a single tear for you.
That makes sense to me. I do know who Pat Robertson is because he has the 700 Club, because he is in that song of Fred Phelps in the Westboro Baptist Church. But that's the only thing I know about him.
Yeah, and his whole thing was that he was like scamming money from old ladies, that he was basically saying, yeah, if you send me money, then it's like a seed offering, and then it will be returned to you tenfold or whatever. And that was his whole thing, and that he would scam people out of their money.
So I am like kind of aware of what kind of person he was and what he did. But no, I agree with you. Like, generally, I don't want to make fun of somebody's death, even if they were a bad person, because they have family who loved them, or, you know, that it affects other people other than just the person who died, who is dead and cannot hear your insults. I think there are good exceptions, and this would be one of them. If somebody was so harmful and so callous about other people's deaths, and that is not just your opinion, it's not, oh, my opinion was that I didn't like them, it's established fact that they were callous and uncaring about other people's deaths and that they were a harmful person, yeah, I think you get a pass for that. Yeah. That explains why there were so many memes about him. I didn't really know at the time.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those people, you know, the killers in the high places who say their prayers out loud. Not a fan. Mm-hmm. Number two on my list of Fundyverse things that happened this year was Ginger Duggar's book, Becoming Free Indeed, reviewing that book and learning absolutely nothing. Actually learning everything about Ginger Duggar, but learning absolutely nothing about the Duggars themselves.
I wouldn't say that's true. We learned that Bill Clinton accidentally pulled one of their hair one time.
Yeah, that's true. That was like the big bombshell from the book.
That, yeah, that and the Duggar girls trying on blonde wigs and teasing about being one of Bill's girls.
Yes.
Those were the two bombshells, but that was about it.
The thing I was thinking about was that, like, I remember when the book came out, all of like the tabloid websites that you see recommended to you, like if you follow the gossip subreddits, or if you follow the or if you're just on Facebook and you see like promoted posts from like a tabloid, the things that like the bombshells in like Harry and Meghan's, in like Harry from Prince Harry's book, were all
about,
like,
the frostbite.
Yeah, they're all like, he got frostbite on his penis and he lost his virginity to X person and he did this and he did that. And they're all like real salacious and you like want to click on them. And the ones from like Ginger's book. And this was kind of like when the book was being promoted, we're like, is this going to be a tell-all or is this going to be a tell-nothing? And Sadie kind of thought that it was going to be a tell-nothing and I kind of thought it was going to be a tell-all. Sadie was right.
But what do you think about Jill's book that's coming out? I am much more optimistic about that one.
Oh, no. Jill is going to spill the tea for sure. Absolutely. There is no doubt in my mind that that book is going to have some crazy shit in it. Because she was in the dock. She was in Shiny Happy People.
And Derek has just like consistently been messy on Twitter. And he has said a bunch of stuff on Twitter and then taking it down, or, you know, taking it down and reposted it with less detail. And I know that Derek was involved with this book, and I think I am much more leaning towards tell-all on Jill's book.
Oh, that's 100% going to be a tell-all. Do you know about the conspiracy theory that Derek did the Jazz Jennings cyberbullying in order to get the Duggars into hot water, in order to get the show canceled so that he could get them out of it? Have you heard that conspiracy theory?
No, I have not.
Because I've seen that one floating around the internet that...
I still do not approve of cyberbullying a teenager.
Yeah, that's wrong.
That's still a real bad look for Derek. But also, that seems like where his brain would go. Like, that tracks for what we know of him.
Right.
That seems like a thought process that Derek would have. Like, here, let me do this awful thing that I should not be doing to accomplish the goal that I need to get done.
Right, because the cyberbullying was after the Josh scandal broke.
Right, because when the Josh scandal broke, that's when 19 Kids and Counting got canceled and the show quickly picked up with Counting On.
Yeah, it was Jill and Jessa.
Which was Jill and Jessa and Ginger's show.
And Michelle did the robocall to try to get the anti-trans bill passed in their town. And she did a robocall for that, and that wasn't cool either. But the thing that actually got the Duggars off of TLC was when Derek went at a different TLC star. Because Jazz Jennings had a TLC show, and it's like, this is my life as a transgender person.
Does she still have a show?
I don't know.
I have not seen her show, so I don't know if she's still on the air. I know she's in college. That's about all I know. But yeah, trans rights people, let's not bully people, period. But especially let's not bully trans people, and especially teenagers. Gosh, Derek, what is wrong with you?
I mean, I do think that it's possible that if he's like, out of all of the my brother-in-law is a pedophile, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law are like psychopaths, and like my father-in-law is like Joe Jackson, and he's just trying to milk all the money out of this that he possibly can, and we're trying to get out of this and we're just trying to live our lives, I need to burn this down. Like, take
right, and his family was in massive debt because they were semi-forced to have the birth of their first kid on TV, and it didn't go, the birth didn't go well, and the network aired more than they wanted them to air, and then the network didn't pay for the kid's extensive hospital bills.
Yeah.
So, like, I get how he was in a tough situation, but that does not make what he did okay. That's what I would love. Like, I really do feel like Jill's book is going to be a tell-all, but can we get an introduction from Derek where he apologizes for cyberbullying Jazz Jennings? Like, I feel like a public apology is the least he could do.
Yeah.
Like, some people are never going to become fully affirming. And this is something we talked about when we did our episode with Megan Crozier from the Thereafter podcast. We talked about, like, how do we deal with that as people who are either affirming Christians or LGBTQ affirming non-Christians of whatever kind? How do we deal with the concept that some people are never going to believe what we believe in the most compassionate way that still does not compromise the safety and dignity of our LGBTQ plus brothers and sisters and siblings? Like, what do we do? And some people are just never going to become affirming, but I don't think that's an excuse for example, Derek not making a public apology to the young woman that he publicly bullied. Just my two cents.
I agree with you.
And like a book forward would be a great place to do that, or a tweet or social media post in the promotion cycle for the book. Like, this is a big public platform, and this would be a great time. Even if Derek said he didn't come out and say, oh, I've become affirming and I now, you know, believe you when you tell me who you are. And even if he didn't go that far, even if he just said, I'm sorry for bullying, that was wrong, that would be great.
It does say that the book is written by Jill Duggar. Derek Dillard is a contributor, and so is Craig Borlas. He's also a contributor. I don't know who he is. I'm just reading the information from Books Publishing website right now. I will tell you guys, so the book comes out on September 12th this year. I am visiting Portland. I'm visiting home, flying back for about 3 weeks. My flight going back from Portland to Philadelphia is a red eye on the evening of the 11th. So what's going to happen is sometime when I'm either on my flight or just before I get on my flight, that book is going to, the audio book is going to appear onto my phone because I've pre-ordered it. And then I'm going to listen to it. And then the Monday after it comes out is when we're going to have our review of it. So that's going to be our episode that we do that week. So
yeah,
plan for that.
So I looked up Craig Borlas, and he has written inspirational memoirs, like co-authored inspirational memoirs, seems to kind of be his main genre. He also wrote a book called The Naked Christian, Taking Off Religion to Find True Relationship, and talks about offering answers for those looking for vulnerable Christianity. If you feel you fit just outside of what the church has to offer, this book offers answers based in scripture and will lead you into a more authentic relationship with Christ and others.
You speak fundy. What does that mean?
On a sliding scale from fundamentalism to like fully affirming progressive Christianity. So on a scale from Jack Hyles to Mason Menenga, if Jack Hyles is a 1 and Mason is a 10, this book is for people who are solidly at like an 8.5, like too liberal and too hippie for normal non-denominational churches, but not ready to be like, I'm a fully affirming progressive Christian.
Where would you put Ginger and where would you put John MacArthur on that scale? Is John MacArthur like a 3 or a 4?
John MacArthur's like a 3 and Ginger's book is maybe a 5.
Okay, so this is interesting. Okay, so if that's the tack that she's going to take, if it's like an inspirational memoir, then I assume that it's going to be probably a decent amount of the book is going to be about deconstruction, which I would like to read. I think that would be really interesting because Ginger's book isn't about the Ginger's book, like by her own admission, was about disentanglement and being like, do this instead. We have the like we have deconstruction at home.
Right. And Ginger talks about, you know, kind of her dark nights of the soul, but she talks about them or talks around them. And I think I would like Jill's book to dig into that a little bit more. Now we're just making like a gift list, like a Christmas list for everything we want out of Jill's book.
I mean, I'm interested to read it because Jill willingly appeared in a documentary that basically made her whole family look like pieces of shit. I mean, she willingly appeared in that documentary. And
so speaking of, what is your number one Fundyverse moment of the year?
Yeah, I mean, this is a surprise to no one, but the number one Fundyverse moment of the year is Shiny Happy People. It has to be. I think that this is number one, not just because I thought that it was the best content, because I do think it was probably the best Fundy-related content that came out this year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just thought it was done so well. I thought they did such a good job of centering the stories of the survivors, but because this was a piece of Fundy content that made it out of the general Fundyverse. Like, people who know about Ginger Duggar, like the Celebrity Memoirs Book Club tried to do an episode where they talked about Ginger Duggar's book. And then they're just like, we can't do this because there's nothing like in this book that's really relevant for us to do. But Shiny Happy People, I saw people talking about this that aren't even like Fundy related people. Like, I would talk to people who are, you know, friends or family who don't listen to the podcast, and they're just like, oh dude, I saw this crazy documentary on Amazon and it was about that family that has all those kids. And I think that if this is the first piece of media and piece of documentary content that you get exposed to that is about fundamentalism, then that good puts you in a very good place to really understanding what this culture is about.
Right. And that's why Shiny Happy People was so good, because it had little moments for people who have been in the Snarkerverse for a long time. It had little bits of new information for people who have been around the block, but it was such a good primer. Like, if you know nothing about this, this is where you start.
And like, I could be able to tell somebody when they're like, oh, what do you do? What do you talk about? I'm like, I can say, go watch the documentary on Amazon and then go listen to our episode of the show about it. And then you'll know like what it is. And then that's like a good jumping off point to get somebody into our show. And that's been actually really great for us, you know, and it was awesome to.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Speaking of which, do you want to talk about our favorite moments of the year from our show?
That sounds great. Let's do that.
I think for me, number one, my favorite moment of the year, one of them has to have been that I got to see First Baptist Church of Hammond in person. That's got to be up there.
Whereas if I had to do that, it would probably be my least favorite moment of the year.
Yeah, man, the PTSD, aka spicy memories.
No, I do want to go back. I'm not interested in going back to the church just because There's less personal trauma that happened at the church, but so many emotionally charged memories that are not really cult trauma. But like, I've been through breakups on that property. I've had moments of big happiness and big disappointment there. Just so many emotionally charged memories there that are not really cult trauma related, but like young adult stuff related. I think it would be really weird for me to go back. And also there is cult trauma there. Like, that's where I saw the Paula Schaff sermon. And I think it would be weird to be in that auditorium again. I would love to go back to Hiles Anderson though, just to see, to make it real in my mind again.
Just to see what it looks like. Do you think it looks the same or is it different?
I think it would look really different. Like, now I've been on a real college campus. I have not been back to Hiles Anderson since the day I left in spring of 2013.
10 years ago.
Over 10 years now. And I think it would be really interesting. I think it would seem really small. But I want to go back, and I would go back and walk around the lake again.
My honorable mention for favorite moments, for favorite things that I got to do on the podcast this year was probably watching The Burning Hell. If you want to go back to Halloween, that was just a fun, goofy movie.
And if you want to do another one this fall, I have another like Christian B movie that you can watch.
I would love to watch another Christian. When are we going to do the, like some Kirk Cameron? When are we going to do God's Not Dead?
Oh, you want to do that?
Some Left Behind. I want to do that. I mean, we could watch God's Not Dead 3, The Chudding.
I don't want to watch God's Not Dead. Don't make me do that. I'll rewatch the Left Behind series. I'm not going to go back and watch God's Not Dead. I've never seen it and I don't need to.
Okay.
You can watch, if you want to do a Christian movie, we can watch Facing the Giants. Facing the Giants is, did you see The Blind Side?
Yes, with Sandra Bullock.
Facing the Giants is like the Christian version of that.
Oh,
it's the Christian football movie that's like an answer to that. Just they don't address racism at all.
Oh my God.
It's more about like, if you pray for God to help you win a football game, he will help you win the football game and also make your wife get pregnant.
The Blind Side was, I mean, like, I remember seeing that in theaters and I thought, wow, that was really powerful. And then I watched it again like 4 or 5 years ago and I'm like, oh, this is some...
That's what I've heard. I have not... The Blind Side was a movie that I saw... I think I saw it Not that long. When did it come out?
I don't know. It must have been like 10, 15 years ago.
I gotta look it up. 2009. That is my experience with it. I saw it.
It's like watching The Help.
Yeah, I saw both of those movies in the first few years that they were out and thought they were the first movies that I saw that really addressed racism. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is so powerful. And then I have not rewatched them, but looking back, I feel like if I did, I would probably be cringing a good bit. But I, you know, I'm thankful for a movie that got my foot in the door to trying to understand this. Cringy as it may be now, I'm glad I got my foot in the door one way or another.
It's like for me, when I went back a few years ago, like during the pandemic, I'm like, I should try to watch The Office again. I remember liking that show, and I put it, I'm like, no, like, oh, like the cringe was so hard. It just made my skin crawl.
Oh, I still love The Office. I watched the entire, all of The Office, all the way through in like my last couple weeks of pregnancy and first couple weeks with a newborn with Chuck.
So you remember none of it?
Yep. Then again, I also don't listen to my postpartum streaming recommendations because I watched The Good Place, like all of it, immediately when I came home with a newborn.
That's a terrible idea.
That was such a dumb idea.
Just ruin your brain. Ruin all that of like the dopamine. Maybe,
yeah, one of the dumbest things I have ever done in my life. I had no clue. I mean, I had seen The Good Place before, so I knew what I was getting into. That makes it dumber. But as far as my favorite moment of the year on our show, I think finally getting to tell our listeners that I had a copy of The Wizard of God was really huge. That was a huge personal get for me. And getting to finally share that with our listeners was huge. That was really big for me.
I remember like when you were telling me that you're like, I think I've got a copy. You're like, I think
I'm going to have a copy in a couple weeks.
And it was just like, I mean, you were like buzzing. It was wild.
And a lot of, I should probably answer like 12 listener questions in our Facebook group. A lot of people have asked if I can be more specific where I got it from. Unfortunately, I can't. What I can tell you is it was dead stock. So it was original print because it has never gone back into print after the original printing. It was dead stock of the original printing that was being kept in storage by somebody really close to the situation, like somebody whose name you might find in the book, like that close to the situation. And that person gave it as a personal gift to another cult researcher, and that researcher passed it on to me. And that's how I got it. And that's all I can say right now. I can't scan the whole thing and put it online. There is a possibility that it could be released as an ebook in the future or as a new printing. I have lost contact with my source on that, like the person who might be able to make that happen for us. I don't have contact with them right now, but I'm working on that. And it's possible that it could come out as an ebook the way that Fundamental Seduction did.
That would be great.
Yeah, I would really support that.
Because then the fundies can't buy up all the copies and like burn them.
Mm-hmm. And like I have talked, to be clear, I've talked to the person who could make that happen. Like the person who, so Nischik is dead, but there's somebody who owns the copyright to this book now that he's gone. And I have talked to that person in the past, but I've lost touch with them. And I am going to try to get back in touch with them at some point to see if we can make a new printing or an ebook happen.
What was your favorite episode that we did, do you think?
Ooh, the Scopes Monkey Trial episode.
That was great.
I enjoyed that one so much.
That was a fun one for me because that was a topic that you knew so much about and you were so widely just like, I can't wait to talk about this. And I was like, I don't know what this is. And I learned so much from that one.
Yeah, and I thought I knew so much about it and then came to realize that I actually didn't because I had been indoctrinated. I forgot to thank Kat Conley in our episode. They are at Steer Queer Y'all on Instagram, and they sent me a book that was like fictionalized accounts of people who would have been at the trial. And that book was really neat to have when I was prepping for that episode. And I forgot to thank them on the Scopes episode. So thank you, Kat.
That's absolutely awesome, though.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see when we get to look at something now removed from fundamentalism. And then when you get to be like, well, this is what I was told. And that's kind of one of my favorite things that we get to do on the show.
Yeah, and that's a fun mental workout for me, because I have to hold both of those things. Like, I have to hold what I learned in my mind and also hold the new things I'm learning about the thing in my mind at the same time. So that feels like lifting weights for my brain.
Yeah, but that's how you get stronger. For me, I think one of my favorite episodes this year was when we talked about personality cults, and then when we went after that and talked about Kanye West and like the Donda Academy.
Oh yeah, that one was really good.
I thought that was a really interesting, that was a avenue that I really wanted to look at for a while, but I didn't really have the wherewithal to do that and really put that all together, because I'd been whenever it comes to an episode that I'm really sort of the one driving behind, it takes me probably several months to really compile everything that I want to compile into like one place, so that then I can, when we go to actually outlining the episode, I can actually take that stuff and outline it down. And that was one that I'd worked on for a while.
And I didn't want to be yet another person just dogpiling on Kanye, because he's clearly a person having a tough time. I wanted to bring something more to the conversation than like, oh, we don't like him now. And I think we were able to do that, and I was proud of that.
Yeah. I also liked, honorable mention, I think for me, was What Did Jesus Look Like?
See, that was a flyover episode for me. I didn't think it was bad. It was fine. It was good. But I'm glad you really enjoyed it.
I mean, I do think it's funny that oftentimes the episodes that we get the most out of are different ones, and sometimes they're the same ones.
Yes. Like stuff that'll be massive, big deal, biggest episode ever for me. Like, okay, like this June when we talked to Dinah about Jem Elliott and Elizabeth Elliott.
Yes. Perfect example.
Like, it's not like you disliked it or weren't proud of it. It wasn't that meaningful to you. And it certainly was to me and Dinah. It's really neat how different things get to different people.
And I think that's why it's fun for us to make the show, is because we get to, I mean, I do feel like I get to learn about looking at things from different angles. And that's a lot of fun. Speaking of Dinah, I think that this is a good time for us to thank all of the guests that we had on our show for the past year.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Who do we have on? We have Liat, who came on. She came on twice. She talked about Fundy sex advice. And she was also on a couple weeks ago when we talked about the Jewish matchmaking. That was fun. We had Shoshana on to talk about to train up a child. Oh, that seared into my brain. Megan, that was a good interview. You had your Bi Pride party. Pastor Noah was a lot of fun. And then we had Dinah, obviously. And we had Lindsay and Chad come on to talk to us about shiny, happy people. And I think I want to thank everybody, all of those people that came onto our show as guests this year, because your contributions were really fantastic and we really got a lot out of the conversations that we have with you guys.
Yeah, definitely. Big thank you to all of our guests. And I listened to yours and Liat's Jewish dating matchmaking show episode, and I really loved it. It was funny. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. And special thanks to Liat for jumping in when, as mentioned, my movers got canceled and I was stranded without the ability to record for a far longer time than I thought I would be.
It was really like Sadie and I got on to record one day. We got on to record Alberto Part 2 and we're just like, do we want to do this? And Sadie's like, no. And I'm like,
no.
Also, no. She's just like, my brain, no, I can't. I'm like, cool. We'll take an extra week off. I'll find something else to fill the space. But that was a lot of fun. Have you watched Jewish matchmaking since?
No, because I haven't watched anything since I moved.
Oh, right.
Because the whole thing is, we thought we'd get things done before, and then because of the closing getting pushed and the move getting messed up, we had no time. So like what I do right now is I take care of Chuck from morning until nap. And then when she naps, I record an episode. And then when she's done napping, I take care of Chuck until bedtime. And then at bedtime, I paint a wall or drill holes in things or hang blinds or whatever. Unpack boxes.
At least you feel accomplished at the end of the day, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sleeping great. which is great news.
That hasn't happened for years.
Yeah, I'm not sleeping enough, but I'm sleeping really well.
Hell yeah.
So it's good stress. It's like good problems to have, but I definitely, like, I have not had time to watch anything.
A couple more questions before we finish this up. A couple more just like retrospectives. I want to know, what is your favorite piece of deep research that you did for the episode, for an episode this year in the past 12 months?
I really enjoyed trying to make sense of Jack Chick and just his life and trying to put together a reasonable timeline that made sense. I also thought digging into the Habsburg family tree to try to find a person who didn't exist was really fun. I'm trying to think if there was one other thing.
What about Chiniqui?
Yeah, that was refreshing to get really caught up in like a source for, because I found Chiniqui, which is a source for Alberto's claim that the Catholics did the Lincoln assassination. And then I had to read more about Chiniqui to like back up that source. And then I found Henrietta Caracolio and had to read about her to back up Chiniqui, to back up Alberto. And it was just a chain of this thing references that thing, which references this other thing. And I definitely spent more time than I needed to reading that, but it was really fun.
I mean, and that's very like academically intriguing.
That's the kind of thing I really love. Like I've said before, if someone would pay me a salary to go to college for the rest of my life and just get degree after degree after degree, I would absolutely do that. And this is kind of similar to that.
I would love to do more of these like deep research episodes. The only problem is that they end up being so time consuming that every time we want to do one, it ends up taking two or three times as long as we want it to.
Yeah.
And so we just literally can't justify doing them as much as we would like to. Because there's so many, like if you look at our list of topics that we have going forward for the show that we want to talk about, probably about half of them are deep research topics and the other half are like, just, oh, here's an interesting cultural thing that let's talk about. Something like that.
Yeah, stuff that's more from my memories. Like we did an episode on pastor school. That is quicker to outline than something, surprise, surprise, than something that has 30 sources, like our Bob Jones episode, which had 31 or 32 sources, just because I don't have to track things down that are already inside my brain. And I love doing both, but one is just a lot quicker to put together as an episode. Well, did you tell us your favorite deep research episode?
So my favorite deep research episode, I have two of them. One of them was when, I don't know if this qualifies as deep research, but when I read the entirety of To Train Up a Child by Debbie Michael Pearl. I mean, there have been times on this show when I've really had my eyes opened about like, oh, this is what fundamentalism really is. And it happens less now than it did 3 years ago. I will say that. But this was one of those moments when I read it and I was like, oh, this is an abomination. The other thing that I can't talk about deep research that I did without bringing up the Manosphere deep dive because of the amount of like Manosphere and like Andrew Tate content that I forced myself to watch during the research stages of that episode and how many months it took me to make it. But that was probably my other one. And I do think that one was one that also kind of changed the way that I have an outlook on it changed my outlook towards things that aren't just podcast related. It changed my outlook on things that are more related to general life and just generally the way people interact with each other. The other thing about the To Train Up a Child episode is that learning about the five stages of moral development from Shoshana was very interesting to me. And I being able to look at that and being able to apply that other places in my life was also something that I got a lot out of.
Oh, yeah. That one has stuck with me, too, because number one, I'm currently raising a person who is going through moral development. But also, my husband had a conflict at work, and I was like, hey, have you heard of the five stages of moral development? Do you think maybe this person's problem, like the reason that they're kind of being a jerk, is because they got stuck in stage two of moral development? And so it has really been applicable to life.
A couple of quick things before we go. What are our plans for the next few months? What are we talking about?
So we have a episode on Brittany Dawn coming out, and it is going to be an incredibly long, like from the length of the outline, it's like 125% of the length of a regular episode. So that's going to be a long episode. I want to talk about J. Frank Norris this fall. He is the guy who's the origin of the brain in the jar myth. But the more I have researched into him, his life was incredibly interesting, and he might have been a much worse person than we previously thought. So I think there's a lot to get into there. We're also going to talk, like we talked about, we're going to do Jill Duggar Dillard's book when it comes out. And I want to get into, we'll have our normal like spooky Halloween episode in a couple months, but I really want to get into some end times fundy stuff. And I promise I want to hear from our listeners. I know there are many people who are just going to be too triggered and not going to be able to listen to anything we put out on end times content. So I want to know how I can take care of people. So if you put a post in the Facebook group, we can discuss that, because I want to know, how do I take care of our listeners who are just not going to be able to listen to that because of the trigger? But I do really want to get into the end times prophecies and why they're not even biblically correct.
And so I think part of that is going to involve me reading the book of Revelations, which I have not read. Full disclosure, I've read many parts of what I would call the fan fiction, what I would, if I'm being polite, would call the sequels, and what Christians would call the New Testament. But I've kind of been like saving the book of Revelations to be something special so that we can do it for the podcast. Like the first time I really go through it and read it, then we can do it for the podcast. So
I'm telling you right now, you're going to have no idea what any of it means.
That's kind of like what I'm excited for, though, because I like learning.
It's kind of similar to the first. What are the books called that Game of Thrones is based off of?
A Song of Ice and Fire.
So I've read the first one and I've not read any of the other ones, but it's kind of similar to the first book in that series, except for there's not a plot.
So what, there's just like something will happen and then something else will happen, and you have to also get used to the language, and you have to also get used to, oh, they spell the word sir differently, and they have a word for this, and maester means doctor / like academic or something. Like,
yeah, it's going to be similar, I think. For you.
I'm excited for that because I did like that book series, and I would love to kind of immerse myself in that and see what's going on. I don't know if we were going to have to talk about Revelations before or after we talk about QAnon, but I would love to discuss QAnon in the coming year, and I think that would be a lot of fun. Yeah, and so that's kind of what we're going to be doing this coming year, and I'm really excited to bring you guys all of this content. We're not going anywhere. As long as there are still fundy stuff to discuss, we will, and religion stuff and cult stuff to discuss, and deconstruction stuff to discuss, we will keep discussing that stuff. And I can't wait. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for 3 years.
Yeah. And thank you. Thank you so much for continuing to support us and stick with us and engage with us and recommend us to others. We really, truly appreciate our listeners. And we know for sure that you are the reason that we have this platform, and that we have this job, and we don't ever lose sight of that, and we appreciate you every day.
Thank you guys so much. If you want to follow the show, you can follow the show on Facebook and Instagram, and it's also on Threads at Leaving Eden Podcast. You can join our Facebook group, and you can join our Patreon, patreon.com/Leaving Eden Podcast. And Sadie, you want to plug your socials?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Sadie Carpenter Music, on Twitter at Hell Yes Sadie, and on TikTok at Sadie Carpenter 1.
And you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at GAVRIELHACOHEN. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You guys have a great day. Thank you guys for 3 years. And here's to more. Bye-bye.